If you don't have big dreams and goals, you'll end up working for someone that does. You're listening to episode 496 on the Flip Empire Show. And my friends, today's guest is somebody who's very inspiring, somebody who I'm grateful to have now connected with and starting to build a relationship, a gentleman by the name of Gavin Timms. This guy came from England to the United States in 2012. In England, he was a professional golfer and coach, and ultimately realized that he had a bigger vision for his life, and he had goals that he wanted to fulfill, and he got exposed to real estate investing. You know, one of the things Gavin talks about on today's podcast is how he always wanted to build a business that operated remotely and operated with or without him. And so we talk about how he went about the process of focusing in on his strengths, focusing in on the things he was good at and he enjoyed, and partnering, collaborating, aligning himself with strategic partners that did everything else. You know, we talk a lot about the difference between creating a lifestyle business versus scaling a business. And so much so that, you know, in 2017, he shares a very, very personal story, something that as he was sharing this story on the podcast, we both got chills. I got chills listening to him, putting myself in his shoes. And he got chills, obviously, as somebody who experienced it for a good eight month period while a big health challenge happened to somebody he's extremely close to. And so we talk about, you know, how he had to kind of step away from things and how because he built his business and designed his business in a way that supported his lifestyle, he was able to be just fine and get through that tough period of his time. So there's so much more that we dive into. I know you're going to get a lot out of this episode. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you in advance to share it because I'm that confident that you're going to walk away, better than when, than heading into this thing. So, Gavin shares so many nuggets, so much perspective and insight and wisdom. And I can't wait for you to listen to it. So without further ado, let's hop right in.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friends. I am super excited as always. I'm so fortunate to have an opportunity to host the Flip Empire show here because I get to connect with rock stars like my next guest, Mr. Gavin Timms. Just to kind of set the stage here, Gavin is somebody who I've been hearing about for a number of years. A mutual friend of ours, Joe McCall, he and Joe have done a lot of work together. Gavin is a fantastic coach and lifestyle entrepreneur. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is, it's interesting. We were talking offline. I had, along with Chris Chico, I moderated my first Clubhouse room just yesterday. And the topic was around scaling and lifestyle businesses and the pros and cons. Should you scale? And if you do, how do you know it's the right time and all that? I think Gavin and I have decided to kind of go in a little bit of a different direction. And so we're going to be talking about how he has structured his business. And he may even share some very personal stories of sharing why it was so important to structure and design his business the way it did so that he was able to spend time with his wife and ultimately just have freedom and do the things that he wants to do. So Gavin, with that as the backdrop, my friend, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, Alex, I appreciate it. It's great to be here. So I appreciate you having me on and looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, dude, I've been trying to break away from the usual, like give us a background and all that, because I covered a little bit of that in the intro. But why don't we kind of get to at the core, who are you? And then let's talk about, you know, not so much how you got into real estate, but what your business looks like today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from England, as you probably tell, right? I'm not from the US.
I love the accent.
Yeah, so I'm from England. And I used to be a golf professional. That's what I did, right? And I came over, I had a coaching background in golf, came over back in 2012 as a golf pro. Trying to make it right on tour. I'm PGA qualified, but I was never good enough, you know, to get on tour. But love the game, you know, love the lifestyle of it, but it just wasn't making the money, right? If you're not winning, you're not making money. And the coaching was good, but not, you know, great. And when I came out here, I then was on vacation, ended up meeting my wife. A year or so on, moved out here full time. My wife was a travel nurse. Well, no, she wasn't. She was a nurse. And then she wanted to be a travel nurse. And I'd made the big jump coming from England to the United States. And I was like, well, let's travel. You know, I'm a golf pro. If we hit the weather, I can get a job anywhere, you know, with my qualification and stuff. Like, I can caddy, I can coach, whatever we need to do. And that's what we did. So we started traveling. And I've always had that mentality of that I refuse coming to the United States because I think it's one of the most hardworking countries, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is that in England, like a standard job, you're probably going to get 21, 28 days vacation, standard, everybody, right? Here, it was like 5 days. I was like, I can never take a job here. Like, all my family's in England, like this isn't going to work. I will travel. So we would travel, take an assignment for 13 weeks, right? Make money. And then we'd have 6 weeks, 2 months off.
Yeah.
And then we take another assignment. And that's how we lived. So we just like go Europe, England, travel the US. Like it was amazing times. And then came across real estate. And what I found is that I needed to build something around the lifestyle. Because what happens is that a lot of people wanting to get as an entrepreneur want to go and create another job. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to work hard. And I want to get this across. I'm not saying that I didn't work hard because I did, but I worked around what I needed and how it needed to look. So for me, it wasn't the hours put in, but it was working from anywhere with a phone and a laptop, and I could travel. And as long as I had an internet connection and a phone line, I could work. And that's how I started in virtual wholesaling, bearing in mind, no real estate experience, knew nothing about it, got into it super green, straight into coaching with it. And that's when I started to build it. And ever since, everything I do is around what I want it to look like.
Yeah. So Gavin, I'm curious, man, because many people have kind of missed the boat when it comes to when they start in their business, they're in like grind and hustle mode and they're wearing all the hats, they're doing it. It sounds like for you, I don't know if you had a coach or a mentor in your corner, but it sounds like you figured that out pretty early on that like, hey, I need to create this business to support and enhance the lifestyle I want. And I see so many go in the other direction and then they try to backtrack and unwind everything they've done, myself being the most recent example of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, when there's so many moving parts, when you're brand new, like you've never, I'm talking like never read a book, never watched a course, didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So when you come in, the overwhelm, like most when you start something, was just unbelievable. So when I looked at, is I made a couple of mistakes. I went in, I'm all about taking massive action, right? So I was in San Fran at the time and I started marketing to Jacksonville, Florida, right? I was getting off the golf course at 6 o'clock. It was 9 o'clock at night, sending direct mail on the golf course, can't have your phones. I mean, it was just like multiple things that you get wrong, but I'm just trying to make things happen. Don't know what I'm doing. Right. And what I figured out real quickly was like, hold on, what am I good at, right? I can talk to people, I can close, and I'm not good at the other stuff, right? I'm scared of like having to buy the house with a contract. So what I did was I started then to look for partnerships where I could then collaborate with somebody else and focus on the thing that I was good at. And as soon as I did that, that's when everything was a game changer. And what people try and do is, you just made a good point, they try and wear all the hats, right? They have to do everything. I believe that if you wear all the hats, that's when you're on the roller coaster of real estate, right? You do a deal every 3 months, you make a big check and then you get nothing. It's because it's two stop start. And if you learn how the systems and the foundation need to be built by putting things in place and allow you to focus on what you're good at, that's when then you're going to get that traction and with less chaos, because you know, you're not overwhelmed, because all I had to do was pick up the phone, talk to people and make offers. That was my job.
So when you got started, Gavin, did you just decide, hey, I'm going to focus on marketing and I'm going to focus on closing deals, like, and essentially talking to sellers, getting properties under contract? And then were you aligning yourself with strategic partners that would basically do all the other parts of the business?
Well, yeah, kind of. So what actually happened was I moved from San Fran. We took the next assignment in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix is a massive hub, right? As we know, load of the gurus and the meetups and everything that is there, right? And I didn't know this at the time. So I get there, I arrive in Arizona. It's red hot. And it was like coming up to summer. And literally I went on to, they said go on to meetup.com, right? So I go on there, there's a meetup tonight at 7 o'clock. No problem. Let's go. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go there. So I go. There's about 40 people there. I've got like slacks and a shirt, like kind of dressed up. It's an investor thing, right? Of course, everyone's going to be dressed up in my head. I get in there, flip-flops, T-shirt, shorts, and I'm like, so not only have I got an accent to stand out, I've now looked like I've turned up for a wedding, you know? So anyway, I sit there, and it was a brilliant meetup because he made everyone stand up in the room. And he basically said, like, you got 30 seconds, who you are, what do you need, kind of thing. So it was like wholesalers, rehabbers, lenders, blah, blah, blah. So I stood up and I was like in the middle of the pack and it was coming around. I was like, well, here's your chance. And I just stood up and I said, hey, I'm from England. You know, I've just got here, new to real estate. I need leads to work. I believe I can close deals. I can do this full time. If you want to, you know, work with me, let me know. My number's da da da. And I sat back down. Right. And there was a lady kind of, as I looked over to my left, she said, oh, let's connect. So after the meeting, she said, hey, can you meet at a coffee shop tomorrow morning? I was like, absolutely. She said, I've got something that you might want to work on. So she brings me 60 dead leads on a spreadsheet. And she said, well, you said you want to work. I don't know if you want to work these. They're not very good, but it'll get you started. I was like, yeah. Give them. Let me take them. So they were on the spreadsheet. They were 3 months old and they had notes. It was in a Google spreadsheet. And I went in and individually dialed every single one. And I got over like a week period or whatever, I got like 40 people. And within that 2 weeks, I'd locked up two deals from dead leads. Wow,
my man.
Okay. And that's how I got started. And then I was like, this works, right? And in the notes, this person wasn't ready. And now they're ready. Right? Because of a situation changing over time. Right. So it started to click. And I thought, right. Well, and she was just like amazed, right? Here I am. Now I've gave it all the talk and now I've actually delivered. Yeah. She's like, that's awesome. And I was like, hey, do you want to do more of it? And she's like, well, how would we do it? And I said, well, why don't you market? I'll take the calls, lock the deals up. You go and see the properties and find out how to move them with a buyer. How does that sound? And she was like, no problem. How much do you want? And I'm like 2,000 start with. Well, I had no idea. And she's like, yeah, wow. Done. So I'm like, this is working. Right. So then I start having other people. So I started teaming up with three other people. They were all marketing. I was doing all the phone, sitting there, pounding the phone, making offers, locking up deals. If I got one or I needed to like say, oh, is this a deal? What do you think? I just call them. Hey, I think I've got one. Motivation's there. Yeah, get me in. They go in, get the contract signed. And then I was making 50% of the assignment fees at closing. And that's how I started working, right?
Yeah.
And from that, that's when then I started to transition and thought, you know what? I've seen now this model that I've somehow kind of created in a way. And I'm like, right, what if I can find other people to swap roles? If I become the marketer and the system guy and I get someone that needs that's good on the phone and can do my role, what would that look like? That's what I started to transition to. So now in multiple markets, doing that very small team, very low overhead, that's kind of how we operate.
Wow. Okay. So I got to take a few steps back because there's so many things I want to unpack. First thing I want to kind of just, you know, shine a spotlight on is you were very aware of your unique ability. You were very aware that you were a good closer. So I think that's first and foremost, people listening to this and watching this need to understand this is a self-awareness game and entrepreneurship in general is just, I think self-awareness is very, you know, it's not spoken about enough. And you have to know what your strengths are, what you're good at and what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Number two, you put yourself in a position to line yourself up with somebody who needed what you brought to the table. You actually went to the meetup, you stood up, and most people talk about it, but they're not actually willing to like put themselves in that position. Number three, you actually executed, you delivered.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it sounds like you needed that proof of concept, but when you 100%. Stood up, all about like you projected confidence. At least that's what I heard, right?
Yeah. You would have thought I'd been in the business. I mean, I rocked it. I mean, I stood there like, I'm going to own this. And inside thinking, I ain't got a clue what I'm doing here, but I'm going with it, you know? And I think that's important, right? I'm very big on creating opportunity, you know, but then you have to deliver. So the BS can only get you so far, but I wasn't going in out of my comfort zone in terms of like, you know, I'm going to write a book for you. And I could never do that, right? I'm taking what I believe I've got, and I'm just saying this is what I'm good at. And I know, I don't care if it's a pen, a piece of paper, a laptop I'm selling. It doesn't matter. Right. If I know I understand it, I can do it.
Yeah. And so the takeaway that I want to kind of put on a silver platter for people, hopefully, is that I don't care if you don't have one red cent to spend on marketing. Gavin just proved that you don't need any money to generate leads. You just have to have will, determination. You have to have a belief and confidence in yourself. You have to understand what you're good at. And then you got to put yourself in a position to attract what it is that you're looking for. So that's what I just, number one, kudos to you for putting yourself in that position and for delivering. Because like you said, man, the BS and the gift of gab will only take you so far.
Yeah.
You got to deliver. What was it about? Because it sounds like you're really, really good at closing. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you kind of enjoy it. What made you shift to say, hey, let me just focus on marketing and systems? Was that a skill set that you also knew you had? Or was that something that you just kind of learned to develop?
Yeah, I learned to develop for sure. And what I could see was that, okay, so my first goal was to work from anywhere, whether it be the UK, traveling, you know, and do that. I mean, done deals from the Dominican, just everywhere. So I tick that box, but then I'm like, okay, I'm working from anywhere and that was the goal, but now I'm working way too much and too hard, right? And I need to swap these roles and started to work out that I could now, you know, when getting into the coaching side, you know, working with Joe and things like that, I could see how these systems, I had them dialed in, right? Because I made that transition that then I started to feed my own stuff without me doing it, right? Hiring VAs. So then I started to bring, as I had money, I could then start to develop my business, right? So I start from nothing. And now I got cash. Now I can start investing in building my own things. And that's what I did to relieve and get me more focused. And then again, if I just slip someone into that role, that's when I transitioned then to then not just working like a crazy, but actually working fully on the business and not in the business. And that's where it changed in terms of the lifestyle from a short term to going full time in that. The lifestyle really kicked in because not only now could I operate from anywhere, but I had systems in place where it was doing it for me. And then I was just maintaining and monitoring.
Where do you feel that investors that you've worked with, investors that you've met and communicated with, where do you feel they go wrong? Where, you know, you talk to them years later and they're still kind of in the business. They're like, they're the cog in the wheel. They're still the, like the business stops if they stop. Where do you feel people go wrong in terms of doing what you did, where you start working on the business, you start implementing systems so that you have this lifestyle?
Yeah. So I think there's a few things that common things that kind of happen. Number one is they focus on new leads. Okay. They focus on new leads. And let me explain what I mean here. A lot of investors generate leads, and all they do is if they don't close on the first phone call, now they go on and wait for the next lead. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happens is 90% of the deals that I do come from follow-up.
That's right.
90% of the deals on the first phone call said no. Okay. So what happens is I believe this is a follow-up game. I don't care what marketing you're doing. In my opinion, you will always close more on the follow-up, okay, than you will that comes in. So the first problem is if they are generating leads, they're focusing and go, well, they're not motivated. They want too much. I could tell you that before you even get on the phone. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't you go, hey, can I buy your house? Yeah, it's a crazy price. Why wouldn't they have a go at that? And you need the ability to grind that down and understand that that situation will change over a period of time. Okay. So that's number one, is that 90% of your focus needs to be on the follow-up, okay, in anyone's business, whether it's you or your team. The other thing that people do and get wrong, okay, is that they focus on the things that don't make any money, all right?
Such as.
There's four things in this business that make money in any business, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's marketing, talking to sellers, making offers, and following up. Okay. They are the four key things that have to happen, the foundation of the business to make money. And what people do is they do one of them or two of them.
Yeah.
And again, that's why they don't. And also they hide behind education, right? I have met clients that work with me that scare me. to death. Like when I hear their stories of they have bought every course in the real estate space and they're not making money and they've done one deal or none. And the problem is the first thing that I have to identify, and it's not always the nicest of conversations, right? But it's getting them to be aware of it's them that is the problem, not the training, not the mentor, none of that. Because we all know we could probably list 100 people, right, that we know that have got courses and then people that have done deals with them courses. But they hide behind the education because it's comfort zone,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's comfort. It's a fulfilling knowing that you've worked on the website or you've watched 15 modules. It's fulfilling because you're like, I'm learning. I'm getting this. I'm going.
Yeah.
But the reality is if you're not going to put it into action, you ain't going to make any money. And then over a period of time, you get 8 weeks in, you're 12 weeks in, you haven't spoke to a seller yet, you haven't made an offer because you're not ready, right? And all it is that you're just, you're not taking that action. So there's some of the things, the common things that I see in, and I guess one is doing a deal and then one is scaling because of the follow-up in the scaling. And the other thing is it's not taking any action.
Yeah, man, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Gavin. If I was to look at my particular journey, when I first got started in this business, I think one of the main reasons I achieved success pretty quickly right out of the gate is because I was in go mode. I was like, I think I'm going to learn more by doing it, even if I screw up, than I am from like just trying to get in this education mode. I literally went to a 3-day boot camp. When I got back, I started sending out letters and going on appointments. That's all I did. And yeah. I wasn't, fortunately for me, there wasn't an abundance of resources and YouTube was just getting, like, I think now it's too, people are consuming too much information and mm-hmm. they're not enough in action mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you just highlighted that. So you mentioned follow-up and I wasn't going to get into this, but so my numbers were 70 to 80% of our deals came from the follow-up. Yours are 90.
Yeah.
What does an effective follow-up system look like for you, Gavin?
Yeah. We'll touch on this real quick. The reason it's 90 is I do proactive marketing. Okay. Proactive marketing, meaning my lead is cold calling and texting. They're kind of my marketing channels. Right. Reactive marketing would be direct mail, PPC, Facebook, where they're calling you. Right. And they come at different costs. So proactive, meaning that the quality of lead will not be as good normally as an inbound call for right. the most part. Right. And that's probably why if you were doing direct mail, your numbers will look better than the 90%. But basically what happens is when the lead comes in, business partner on the ground, they will get on the phone or acquisition. Okay, we'll get on the phone, have the conversation, and then decide on what we're doing, where they're at, and then they'll go into a sequence, right? And that could be a number of ways. We're going to make an offer. We're going to lock it up over the phone. They're not there yet. Are we going to do a 30-day? Are we going to do a 90-day? And anyone starting off, I would just say to keep it simple, just follow up, put them on a follow-up of 30 days, right? That will then change as you get more leads in the pipeline. Right. It makes sense for the first 100 that you could do 30 days. But as you start getting 200 and 300 and 400, yeah, you can't be doing every 30 days and you will learn to then pad it out accordingly. Yeah. For instance, oh, yeah, this guy, not really based on his situation, we're going to do 90 days. Right. Or based on this, we're going to do that. And also you can use systems to be doing the follow up for you on the cold leads, mm-hmm. which is also where the text messages are going out for you. Every 14, 15 days, a text message can go as a point of contact. Now, as soon as they give you something but a no and engage, then it goes back to the phone call and it's kind of back in play.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we run it.
Okay, got it. I'm curious, man, you talk about cold calling and text message marketing being your two main marketing channels. Mm-hmm. What are some best practices? What have you guys found has been extremely effective for you that maybe you see other investors kind of fail in when it comes to those particular marketing channels?
Good question. So cold calling is number one by far. Texting is as and when, if I need more leads. Mm-hmm. The other crazy thing is that I teach a little different is that I don't teach lead heavy, right? Which means I don't come in and try and blast you with leads, okay. Anyone that I work with. And here's why. Based on what I've just said, that 90% of the business is follow-up, okay? If we have too many leads coming in, you're then focused on the new leads again, and you're not focused on follow-up, and you can get overwhelmed real quick. So they, what happens is, let's say we have five leads come in today and we only managed to get hold of two of them. So we got three people we got to lock down that go to tomorrow, and then we have five more. Now we got eight. Before the end of the week, you might have 30 leads and you're thinking, I can't keep up here. You start cutting corners, right? So what I get to focus on is actually a foundation of cold calling that is trickling leads in, maybe even two or three a day to start with, to get you going through the momentum of, right, lead comes in, I get on the phone, I make an offer, I put it in here, next lead, but it's very controlled. Yeah. And then once you've done that, you can then scale that accordingly to the amount of leads you can handle or your team can handle. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have the ability, working in a couple of different markets, where I have multiple VAs where I can bring leads in quicker. And then if they're not keeping up, I can then just drip one in a day and then focus on another market, and I can move things around to control that. And I think, so to answer your question, there's a couple of ways that happen. They can't generate, you know, the leads because they're not putting the right things in place, or they just go all in and go, oh, I've got $5,000. I'm going to put $5,000 into marketing this month, blast themselves with leads, and then they're all over the place. Yeah. They don't do a deal, and then they're back to square one. Like, yeah, for me, if you make $5,000 or $10,000, you need to spread that out over 3 months, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then you go and do another deal, and then you bump your budget up over a period of time to keep you consistent. So all of a sudden now you can have a $5,000 budget every month, but for 6 months. So you have 30,000 sitting there. You're not going to go 30 in month one though, right? And that's how then you can kind of play. And it becomes back to the lifestyle, because we have got the same thoughts of like, how many deals do you want to do? How do you want to, there's a threshold for me to go, I'm not hiring any more people. So we need, as long as we maintain this level, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And that's also, I'm content.
Be different for everybody, you know? And so, you know, somebody listening here, you have to get clear on what it is you want. Maybe the business that Gavin has or that I have, maybe that doesn't fit your vision and your lifestyle. And that's perfectly fine. There's no right or wrong, but you got to gain that clarity on what it is you want and what you want your life to look like. Then go about the business of designing and creating the way that you operate your business to support that. So, dude, that's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear you say that. And one last quick point on the whole marketing and follow-up, just to buffer your argument, is that, and yet that's where most people spend 90% of their time, is new marketing, generating new leads. But the opportunity cost lies within the leads you already have in your pipeline. That's where the gold is. You know, Gavin 100%. Talked about 90%. For me, it's 70, 80%. That's the majority of your leads. The opportunity cost of not focusing on those leads is where people are going wrong when it comes to just marketing and the whole follow-up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, dude, if you're open to sharing, fast forward to 2017, you have this lifestyle business, created it the right way. Share, if whatever you're willing to share, you know, why that was such a blessing.
Basically, what happened was that we built this business based on lifestyle and travel, right? All the positive things that we wanted, right? Family in England, I can go back twice a year, no problem. Three times if I want, we can go to, you know, all these great places. And as long as, again, I can work and do my couple of hours a day, then I'm good, you know, on the real estate, and you take that for granted. And then all of a sudden, end of 17, 18, we flew out to, we're moving, we're in Phoenix, we're flying, back to look at a house in, Savannah. And, we found this house in Savannah. That's where I live now. And we're going to close on this thing. And my wife at the time had a disease called ulcerative colitis, which is a bowel disease. And basically, she kind of had a bad flare up. We just closed on the house, and we were heading back to Phoenix, and she was not well. And we called her doctor back in Phoenix, and he said, "Well, I want you to go to the emergency room, like in Atlanta." And I was like, "No, we're getting on this plane. Like, we're coming to you. I'm not being stuck in another state. Don't know the doctors, all these things." So we get back. Anyway, go in. Just think it's a flare. Nothing crazy. Well, basically, what happened was kind of the world just went upside down. We got the worst news that basically the large intestine, okay, was so ulcered. that it could burst at any time. There's so much inflammation, it's got to come out. And this is just going from like we're buying a house to like what is going on, right? So it's just like Ed in Ann's moment. And it was from that really that, you know, that we built on and multiple complications. You know, we've got the surgery, we're just getting round to having this surgery. And all of a sudden I'm sitting at home and all of a sudden the side of her face isn't moving. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, so I just kind of sit there, I don't say anything. And I'm just like, you're right. She's like, yeah, I'm all right. And only one side of the face is moving, like a lip. And I'm thinking, so I'm like, okay. I was like, look, I don't want to alarm you, but your face isn't moving, kind of thing. She went to the doctors and she knew she could feel something. She went to the mirror. She's a nurse. And it kind of came back and it was like, and then she was fine for a second. And I'm like, what? I was like, we got to go in. She's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, no, we need to. She wouldn't go in. A few days later, happens again. And I'm like, you are going in. Like, we're going. Speech is gone now. Can't speak. Rush her into the emergency room, get in there. And again, I'll try and speed this up. Go in, gets a scan, comes out and basically says, first doctor in the emergency room thinks that she's got a 5 millimeter tumor on her brain.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, this is nothing to do with what's going on. Like, what is happening? So we get transferred to the specialist and he comes in and he says, well, I've got something to tell you that where it is on the brain, it will not be affecting your speech if that's what it is. So now there's something else going on. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, she's devastated. I am. Anyway, they take her for a scan, come back. He said, well, I got bad, good news and bad news. He said, the first thing is that you haven't got anything, you know, tumor on the brain, right? It was a shadow that came up on the scan. So I'm thinking, great. He said, but the bad news is you've had 12 strokes. You've had 12 dead spots on your brain. And we were just like, what? And at the time, she can't speak still. So we don't know if this is going to be permanent. We don't know what we're dealing with. So anyway, the whole surgery now stops. They won't because of what's happened. And basically, forward on, the inflammation from the body sending clots to the brain and all this stuff that's going. I mean, we're dealing with this for months and months and months. And what I realized was is that I built this business that was then operating kind of without me and with me in ways of like, I'm at the hospital, I'm in the waiting room, I'm making calls, I'm doing my thing. You know, and it was just a kind of a like a blessed moment that I had my most, and that went on for probably 7-8 months from having surgery. She had 3 surgeries, multiple, and you know, thank God now she's doing great. You know, didn't have any side effects, and she's always not going to be the same, but it, you know what I'm saying? Like you would never know, and it was a tough time. It, you know, it kind of lasted for 8-9 months there. And what I realized was that it's not all about the positive in life that you've built. It's also, I had my most successful year that year somehow. And people said, how are you doing it? And to be honest, work and focusing on that, the bit that I could, was kind of my getaway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I'm, you know, and I don't know if anyone's been, but I was like losing my mind as well. Like, I mean, we had times when she was in the bed for 3 months at home, didn't come out of the bedroom. You know, like it was a mental game, you know, more than anything. Like it was obviously the pain and all them things, but it was the mental side. And we had, you know, I was fortunate enough to be making enough money. I was flying her nurse friends in for a couple of weeks, friends coming in to stay with us to kind of help, to relieve me and something for her as well. Yeah. And it was pretty intense. And it was just amazing just to, you know, look at that. And look at how this business and what it's actually done on a much bigger scale than the travel and all the great that you see, but it was also built for that. So wow, I was blessed.
Well, man, I'm so grateful that you know, we talked offline that she's healthy now.
Yeah, she's doing really good. Yeah, she's doing really better.
Dude, I mean that story. I was getting chills, kind of.
Listening. Yeah, I mean I do when I talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, I was putting myself in your shoes, and I don't know how if I would have handled it nearly as well as what it sounds you did. And thank God that you were smart enough to just create the business the way that you did. Have you ever thought back and said, man, what if I didn't approach this business this way? What if I'd be wearing all the hats? Like, what would things have looked like at that point?
Scary. scary. I mean, our medical bills are, you know, just all of that. If I had to go and actually go to a job, I don't even like to go to the thought process. Yeah. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, I was, you know, I mean, she was bad, in a bad place, and I had to be there. And I'm thinking, if I wasn't here, I don't know, you know, and all them things. So yeah, it'd been, yeah, disaster, not only just in building it as me doing everything, and a disaster if it would have been in a W, I mean, both, because I would never be able to keep a job. Right. And we wouldn't have made the money to survive and do all them things. Yeah. So just multiple ways of, if it wasn't that way, would have been a disaster.
Yeah. Well, man, the reason I ask you that question is because I'm really, and I think it will, I'm really hoping that, you know, your story serves as a wake up call for somebody listening to this that either finds himself in a 9-to-5 or whatever that they don't like and they want to do real estate, but they just haven't gotten off their butt to do it. I'm hoping this serves as a wake up call that at any moment your life can change like that.
And absolutely.
We talked about buying a house to all of a sudden it's like you being rushed to the hospital and you have no idea what's going on. And then you discover it's multiple issues, right? So like you just never know what life has in store for you. And then if you find yourself where, you know, you're wearing all the hats in the business and it's not really a business, it's just a job or a high paying job. Mm-hmm. Again, let this kind of light that fire under you that like, you need to take a step back and understand that it might not be built in a day or a week or a month, but you got to start doing and putting some of these systems in place, start removing yourself so that you actually have a business that runs with or without you.
Absolutely. And you're only as good as your team. I mean, my team was amazing throughout on in terms of, you know, running two businesses. I was on the coaching side, you know, making still, and I'd like to say not missing a beat, you know, because I just had to get it done. And I look back now and you say, well, I don't think I could have done it. And I look back and go, well, you just make it happen. Yeah. It's just my personality. I don't know. Looking back, I don't know how we did get through it. I really don't. Like when you look and, you know, but you just do. There's just something that overtakes you, just like that first meetup that just overtakes you and you just find a way.
Yeah. Some people might call it adrenaline. Some people might call it your survival instinct. To me, it's God, you know, but like you have no choice. You figure it out. And that's when you, you know, in moments of adversity, that's when you really find your inner strength. Or you don't. And you realize that, you know, maybe you're just not as tough as you are mentally, physically, whatever the case might be. So, man, I really appreciate you sharing that story and just opening up about that, because if I got chills listening to it, I can't imagine what it feels like for you telling the story.
Yeah. No, it does. It gets me, you know, because it's kind of you've come through it and you just learned a lot about life and a lot about there's more important things to money, you know, and it turned me off even scaling bigger and offices and all that.
I'm so glad you went there, because that was kind of, you know, it was just a perfect segue. We talked some in this clubhouse room yesterday about the whole thing of scaling. You know, you jump online and you see everybody talking about their big office and their 10, 15, 20 team members and 10 to 30 deals a month and all this stuff. And I don't want to come across as if I'm demonizing that in any way, because there's a part of me that looks at that and that man, it's pretty impressive that you're able to do that. But then I talked to some of these guys, not all of them, but I talked to some of them and they're spending upwards of 100, 150 grand a month. And that just makes my head spin. I got to a point in my business where we were spending close to 50,000 a month. And when I look back, I'm like, I don't like the idea of having to do 2 to 3 deals just to break even. Like, I don't, that's not for me. Like, I don't like that. And so talk to me about this whole concept of scaling, which is such a buzzword that's just thrown around every day in our industry. Talk about scaling versus obviously the direction that you win, which is more of a lifestyle business that really supports what you want.
Yeah. The reason is because when you scale, you need more people, right? And where there's people, there's problems, right? And the more that you take on, then there's more overhead. There's more marketing to feed everybody that needs leads in the business. And you can start seeing how you get 50,000. I mean, we operate much smaller level. You know, we'll do 4, 5, 6 deals. We probably just do over 60 a year, right? With a few flips on top of that. And that's enough for us. Like, that's good. Awesome, and we try then to just say, you know, how can we get bigger spreads? You know, we just closed one this week, you know, for 25,500, you know, that I split with a partner. Mm-hmm. And it's good. And if you can keep them going and try and get the bigger wins for the same work. But my model is that if I can feed leads, or you can collaborate with a partner on this and take your strengths and collaborate together, then you're all putting your money, okay, you're putting more money in your pocket, right? I know someone that you know, and I'm not going to call him out, good friend of ours, okay, and I'm not going to mention him. They did last year, in 19, they did 1.5 million, okay? 1.5 million, fantastic, brilliant. I did that year in Bama about 450,000 gross, mm-hmm. okay? Two partners that did 1.4, the way that they're set up and the way that I'm set up, I made more money than they did.
Oh, I believe it.
I put probably about 170,000 in my pocket, right, for running the systems, 180. They did about 120, and they did three times the volume.
That's pain. That hurts me.
Yeah. And that, but here's the thing. What looks better? What sounds better?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of, and I'm not here to knock anyone. It's impressive. Like, if you can go to bed and go, I've got to do 30 deals this month to break even, yeah, right? or whatever.
That is
like, it is. It's unbelievable. And you've got 500,000 a month that you're doing. It's amazing. I just don't have the vision. It's not that I couldn't do it or you couldn't do it. Right. If you don't have the vision, you'll never get there.
That's right.
So I think it's so important that, for everyone listening, is that you need to have a vision and get that first. Like, what are you trying to do? And then you can achieve it. If you don't know, yeah. you're going to go into a job mode because right. that's the only thing you know, right? Yeah. But if you go, I want it to do this, right? I created where I was working too much to start with, yeah. pounding the phone. But the vision was to work from anywhere, not right. work an hour a day. The vision was to work from anywhere, yeah. right? So that's what I created. And guess what? I got it. I was successful. And then I was like, I'm working way too hard. Right. And then I made the change, but I was aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're aware of what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve, then you can go there. And if it's an office and staff and all these deals and all that, then go for it.
More power to you, right?
Absolutely.
But brother, the vision is the roadmap. It's the guide. If you and I jumped in my car, you came to Miami to visit me. You and I jumped in my car and said, dude, let's do it. Let's take a road trip to San Diego. Let's go across the country.
Yeah.
And you took away our iPhones and our Androids, and I couldn't put the GPS in my car. Dude, it would take us a hell of a lot longer to get to San Diego than is if we just pop the address of where we're going, and we have a guide. We have a roadmap. You know what I mean? And we might get off course here or there, whatever, but like, we're going to get there a lot quicker than if you just took away that roadmap, that GPS. And that's what operating and running a business without having a vision is equivalent to, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, my man, this has been awesome, dude. I really, really appreciate you taking the time sharing your story. I think it's been very inspiring for a lot of people listening. So let me throw this up here, but talk a little bit about REI Network. Talk about your podcast, your YouTube show. And for those of you watching the video, you guys can connect with Gavin. REINetwork.com/Maui. I'll let Gavin tell you about that. I got his email on here and his podcast and YouTube as well.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so if you were guys, obviously REI Network is kind of the education, the coaching side, and I do a lot of free content on YouTube, and I have a podcast as well, REI Network with Gavin Timms. Also, there's a link there called REINetwork.com/Maui. That's a case study that I'm actually working on of a flip that we did in Maui, okay? And I talk about collaboration and how to do a flip without bringing, again, any money, okay? And how you can work with partners on that and make it a win-win, right? It's not something that I even teach, but I'm very big that if I can come up with a scenario that's a win-win, then we'll do it. And that's what I did in Maui, where I joined a flipper and my team went and sourced this deal. We did a flip in Maui. And, you know, I probably pulled about 90K from it ourselves, the portion. It was a $470,000 deal, profit, just over. So it was a big one. We, you know, sold it for $2.265 million. Wow. And the cool thing is that, but again, the focus for us is just in one section of that whole process. So I've only got to deliver my portion and then everything else is happening and taken care of. And the other thing you'll get from this case study is building relationships. So not be small-minded on that one flip, but what can that go to, right? Now this guy is now lending money to us. We're going to be buying stuff, wholesaling stuff if we want. We've got multiple things that we can do from building relationships long-term. So don't be short-minded. You've got to think big and you've got to make it a win-win. So check that out, reinetwork.com/Maui. And if you need me support at REI Network, I'd be glad to answer any questions that anyone has.
Well, beautiful, man. You've added a tremendous amount of value and it's so crazy how you and I just have a very similar mindset and we're very much aligned in just how we think and how we approach things. So it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, brother. If I could do anything to support you in your journey, you just let me know, my man. And guys, make sure to connect with Gavin, follow his podcast, check out his YouTube, and check out that case study, reinetwork.com/Maui. Pretty cool stuff, man. So yeah,
appreciate you.
Yeah, no, man. Thank you so much. And guys, again, this show exists because of you and only you. This is not the Alex Pardo show or the Gavin show. We do this to support you, to provide you with quality content that we hope that you guys will take and implement in your business so that you can create the kind of life that you want. So that's what we're about here on the Flip Empire Show. Really appreciate you guys taking the time and I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Have a great one. Hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, you know, I've had a lot of people recently reach out to me wanting to learn more about Ascend, wanting to understand how the mastermind component works, how the coaching relationship works. And so right now we're actually on a waiting list. But what I would encourage you to do is if you think you're the right fit and you think you can benefit from being a part of our community, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, watch the short video, and then just click the apply to join button below. And then we'll be in contact with you if and when a spot opens up. So really appreciate you listening to Flip Empire here. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Take care.